Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The firm of Harris and Meringue. Not ambulance chasing, but plenty of rides in one.
From the hips down, man, it's a disaster.
The firm. Patrick Harris.
And someone crashed their car on the I-5 bridge.
Danny Meringue.
I've had some bad runs.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, hour number deuce here, 105.1 The Fan FM.
Look at you being on time this time.
Yeah, I'm trying my best. You can, if you missed it in the first hour, you can download that.
I mean, if you want to pick nits.
I've had a rough day logistically today. I apologize for that. Guilty as charged. If you missed any of the first hour, you can check that out on the Fan Podcast, 1051thefan.com. The Odyssey app up and running. I checked it out this morning myself, where you got chapters. You can rewind, fast forward, except for into the future. That would be impossible. Also on the YouTube stream, youtube.com/1051thefan. You can see earlier shows from the day. If you missed the boys in the morning, if you missed primetime yesterday, you can check those out as well. There's a lot to get to this hour. What did we learn this weekend in college football? Joe and I kind of did that yesterday, but I'd like to get your take on that, Danny. As we had a huge football weekend, just one for the ages on Saturday.
Twas great. We went into that weekend thinking it was going to be good.
It delivered.
In all the windows, starting on Friday.
Wait till I tell you what I think about Ty Simpson. Just saying. A camera exploded in this Cleveland-Detroit game. A foul ball went directly back to the camera, and it literally exploded.
Yeah, you think they have a cover on it.
I saw the umpire over there. I was like, what the hell is the umpire going to do? Shouldn't there be like a crew to take care of this?
It's kind of weird.
Anyway, Scoobles dealing man on first for Cleveland. Still 1-0 bottom of the fourth with this man at the plate.
Posey decked him!
So we'll see if he can do anything. Kind of buried because of the Oregon-Penn State game in Bama, Georgia. Kind of buried in that is Lane Kiffin gets his W as LSU comes to town. There's a lot to unpack from this game. I thought, you know, Kiffin's found himself the next Ole Miss quarterback. That might be the most blatantly obvious thing from that game. I don't know.
Chambliss stunted on them.
I don't know what the ceiling is for Chambliss, but he looks really, really good. And he's kind of I don't want to say a diamond in the rough, but he wasn't expected to be the starter. And he's come in and he's handled that very, very well.
Can I have a hot take here?
Go for it.
If he had started the season as the number one quarterback, he'd be the Heisman favorite right now.
You think so? Yes. Heisman favorite. You love Mendoza still.
Well, when you have a 500-yard, 5-touchdown game against a top-10 opponent, I don't care what you think about Illinois, when you do that, that is the only Heisman performance we have seen this season.
From a numbers standpoint, yes.
From a holy crap. Because that's when you talk about Heisman Trophy winners, that's what happens. You know, it's Ashton Jeanty running for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's the thing.
I remember Washington State had Oregon on the ropes the year Marcus won the Heisman. Mm-hmm. It was a night game after dark in Pullman, if my mind serves me correctly. And it's like, things can get weird, and we were playing really well and had him up against it. And Marcus had a couple plays, and I looked at it, and I was like, man, that guy just won a Heisman.
Now you can have
so there are moments. So stats you can have aren't the, everything.
You,
in it,
no, no, but you have to have the stats go with it. Marcus's stats that year were absolutely
they were 100%. I'm not saying they weren't, but a lot of times Heisman is more moments.
Caleb Williams than won just his stats. Heisman against Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. When he made play after play after play.
Reggie Bush won his Heisman against Fresno State.
Yeah, when you make it, when you do something where
Manziel against Alabama,
when the entire world stops and goes, holy crap, like those are Heisman moments, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And nobody's really watching Ole Miss.
I am, but
you know what I mean as far as like.
They're the most quiet number four team I've ever seen this far into a season.
And they're so far down the SEC pecking order when you're talking about the media mm-hmm. packaging it all, which doesn't make any sense.
Tennessee, Georgia, Bama, LSU.
Florida.
I mean, even Florida,
That's
yeah.
I mean, like, you have to go down the list before you get to Ole Miss. It's kind of weird to me because Ole Miss is sexy. Like, their jerseys, look, the powder blues, to me, is one of the best jerseys in college football.
You had Kiffin on top of that, who's a good-looking dude.
Well, I was just going to say, and it's not just Kiffin's got the star power and the glitz and the glam. You put a microphone in front of Lane Kiffin, ladies and gentlemen, it is wonderful. His post-game against LSU, the what does $500,000 get you? Well, it gets you about half of one of LSU's DBs.
Yeah.
Like, he's got something for everything. Like, he's not afraid of the moment. He's not afraid to stand up to it. He, you know, tweeted out the Brian Kelly quote on his game report for, you know, we're going to keep the trophy, blah, blah, blah. It was on their packet that they had for the week for game prep. And he tweeted that out of like, oh, they think that trophy's staying with them? That's what they think?
His post-game interview on the field was, yeah, I don't know. You'll have to check with Chris if we hit the over or not. Love that.
Love that. So you have all of these things. They're a historic brand. They've got a great campus. They've got a great fan base. They've got a lot of hots, which also plays into this as much as it is as far as the way you push it on TV and you push the narrative.
Boy, the biggest difference, side note, of NBC broadcast and an ESPN broadcast as I'm watching Penn State, mm-hmm. Oregon, and Georgia-Bama on two screens. Boy, there's a lot of camera shots to hots in Georgia-Bama. Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot in Penn State, Oregon. And I don't think that's about those schools. I think that's about camera crews and directors at different networks.
I'm going to push back on that a little bit because it doesn't matter who's broadcasting a Florida State game or is Arizona State game or a Texas game or an Ole Miss game.
We're going to the crowd.
We're going to the crowd, folks.
God.
We're going to the – real quick, we're going – Brent Musburger's going to the crowd.
Well, ain't that the truth.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just – it is what it is. But I say all of these things because Ole Miss has the trappings and the packaging to be a sexy brand, mm-hmm. and yet they're not. And they're really good. How many times have I brought this stat up? Ole Miss led – last year, every minute of the season but two total minutes.
And had three losses. Including a weird one to Kentucky.
And if anything goes differently, the way that we're looking at Ole Miss this season is very different.
A win does what for Lane Kiffin? My answer is makes me a believer. Because that's, in theory, the hardest test on your schedule. You get Wazoo next week, which is going to be a rough day for me as a Coug, especially at 9:45. You got Georgia on the road, which is going to be real tough. Game day could be at that. We'll see how Georgia bounces back from Bama. There's a good chance you get Oklahoma without Mateer.
Mm-hmm.
So you've beat LSU. You could lose to Georgia on the road, and the rest of your schedule is favorable. Now, Mississippi State is a very scary team right now. Damn it. Thrown out at the dish. Mississippi State's a very scary team right now. And South Carolina will be funky down the road, too.
We'll see if Sellers is healthy.
We'll see what happens with Sellers. But that's in 4 or 5 weeks.
But you also
Lane Kiffin is looking at... I'm not going to write off Georgia at home. Mm-hmm. He's looking at a one-loss season. Mm-hmm. That's an SEC title game. Yeah. Ole Miss, Bama in an SEC title game with a first-round bye on the line. Lane Kiffin makes me a believer in this Ole Miss team. And it's not like I want Kiffin to be great, which I do. This has made me a believer.
I do. Despite what happened to him at SC and despite what happened to the Raiders.
Ooh, he's safe, baby. One ball.
I have all of the reason in the world to not like Lane Kiffin. You know what I mean?
I think you got all the reason in the world to like him, though.
Well, he
flamed
out with both the teams that I care about the most.
I know. Go Cougs. We did that to you.
Yeah. And yet, I love him. I love him. I want him. You know, you just unabashedly, you just like people and you don't like people.
Mm-hmm.
I like Lane.
And he's got a great redemption story. I still haven't watched that documentary, but I really would like to.
And I just, there's something about Ole Miss that I like. I don't know what it is.
To get to it real fast, just to clean up this conversation about this game, I know we're up against it, but I am fully out on LSU. I think that offense has real issues.
It's putrid.
And Brian Kelly, we talk about Billy Napier on the hot seat. You know, we've laughed about they fired Dabo, et cetera. You know, and obviously the local angle in Trent Bray. Brian Kelly better watch himself. That fan base ain't going to stand for this. If they lose again, if they lose another one, I mean, you can still get in with two losses.
Yeah. Look, their defense is very good.
Their defense, I still think, is a top five defense in college football, yeah. Even though Ole Miss took their chances when they had them. That offense is
Chambliss
just
had, like,
rough.
400 total yards. I mean,
314.
Well, passing. He had,
oh, yeah.
He had,
oh, yeah.
Like 80 yards
71
rushing.
On the ground, yeah.
Like, he was a dude. And you just kind of look at that team, and I'm just like, it's pretty interesting. But I think Brian Kelly, well, yes, I'm. It's the exact opposite. I don't like Brian Kelly. You don't like Brian Kelly.
No.
Brian Kelly doesn't like Brian Kelly.
Mm-mm.
It's not just his offense. He has a Nussmeier problem as much as Clemson has a Cade Klubnik problem.
Well, we've been preaching about it all year. This quarterback class is just not performing.
No,
it's the Chambliss of the world. The Chambliss of the
Chambliss,
world.
Mendoza,
and
Moore.
Dante Moore.
Those are,
and if Mateer were healthy, I'd throw Mateer in there.
And Mensa. Those are probably your five best like quarterbacks that I look around the country right now. Mayava from USC.
I was about to say Mayava. Your guys played well.
He's played really well. He wasn't the problem against Illinois. I look at those five, six guys. Those are, you're probably, like, there's a real chance that Darian Mensa is the first quarterback taken in the draft next year.
I'm not on the Duke train, but I am on
but
the
like,
Mensa train.
You know what I mean? Like, you just, hell, Mendoza. Mendoza could be taken first, the first quarterback off the board right now.
I told you, man, his life has changed because of that Illinois game.
It's absolutely bonkers just how crazy things are. But, you know, what's funny is Lane Kiffin went from Jackson Dart to Austin Simmons to Chambliss, and they just keep on going.
Sorry, Austin who?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, it
was Austin who?
It wasn't like he wasn't performing. It's just that
Austin
Chambliss,
Simmons, the starting quarterback at Michigan next year.
Yeah,
not
well,
really. You know
yeah,
what I mean.
But, yeah somewhere. But that's the thing. Like, Chambliss has been so good.
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, you can't lose your job to injury, but you can lose it to a guy who's playing his butt off.
I mean, it's how we found Caleb Williams, is it not? At Oklahoma.
Yeah, Rattler
went,
found
him. Yep, and they were like, we're done with this.
Hey, true freshman, come on out here. Oh, my God, what is this?
Speaking of, what is the reason? Is it Champaign, Illinois, just a real tough place to play? We'll get into USC, what everybody's been waiting for. Everybody signed up for today. It is 1-1 going to the top of the fifth in this Detroit-Cleveland series in the AL wildcard game. We'll keep going on this college football action. Second hour here, 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Web Gems coming up next, as we do every single day at 11:45, and them's our fighting words. So we'll get to that. As I said, it's 1-1, top of the fifth, runner on first. Gavin Williams still on the mound, pitching himself a decent little game here. He's at 60-plus pitches here. I like Zach texted in on the YouTube chat, getting absolutely no work done today. Try being in my shoes, man.
Those are good days.
I'm just trying to sit here and watch baseball.
I mean, you've mailed this show in, let's be honest.
You can't mail a show in.
You can. It's been done.
I'm trying my
hardest. It's been done by everybody on the station.
Trust me.
Trying
my hardest today, it's been done. I'll tell you that. It's going to be a fun 3 days. Hopefully it's only 2 days, but we'll see how that goes. So we'll have Web Gems coming up next. Joe and I were teasing you yesterday, mostly because we just kept making reference, you know, talking about Penn State, Oregon, and how the wideout delivered.
He did.
And in a lot of different ways. The booing Aller, the fire Franklin chants, and just the spectacle.
In the second quarter.
And NBC's
good
coverage.
God.
Just the spectacle of the whole thing and, you know, crackhead landing at the end and waving to the Oregon fans up in, you know, the quadruple deck there of Beaver Stadium. So our joke was that place is hard to play but not as tough as Champaign, Illinois. Two touchdowns recovered in the end zone, bro. Two of them?
Yeah.
That ain't a recipe for success.
Yeah, no, I mean, they made plays when they needed to give themselves a chance, but they couldn't get Illinois off the field early on in that game.
They couldn't. And to talk Illinois credit for real quick before...
It was a hell of a bounce back for them.
Dude, they had to. Yeah. They had to. You cannot get housed by 50 on the road, in a ranked matchup like
I think
that.
Indiana broke them.
And come out flat.
I think Indiana broke them so fast in that game that there was no choice. Because they scored like, what, 20? I think they scored 21 or 28 in the first quarter. It was such a blitz that Illinois had to throw their entire game plan out. And it was just, oh crap, what do we do? Whereas against USC, they put USC in a blender in the RPO.
Yeah.
They just put them in the accordion over and over again. This isn't to excuse anything. USC had some injuries, and Illinois said, you know what we're going to do? Those second and third DBs that you're relying on right now, every time we go to an RPO, if you're up on the line, we're going to target them. And if you're dropping back, we're going to hand that ball off. And they run the ball 35 times for .171. They never broke anything big. The longest run they had was 13 yards. But you know what they did? They kept the sticks moving. They kept third down short. They kept things manageable over and over. Altmaier
had a great game.
Every single time they had man coverage down and they went heavier in the box and they went RPO, Altmaier said, gotcha. And it was just... I just sat there and went, they're screwed. They're screwed.
And he had a Justin Herbert seal the deal run.
Yep. Yeah. And it was just their USC was just too light in the ass defensively. They couldn't stop the run without stacking the box. And every time they did that, RPO game came and they found somebody in single coverage and they found it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
I think that's the most frustrating part about this game is looking at it from a Lincoln Riley perspective. And I thought the defense was fixed. It was an Alex Grinch problem. It was a this problem. It was a not paying enough attention, not recruiting right, that this was a bad defensive performance from USC. And I think...
One sack. Two tackles for loss.
And Altmaier was just extremely efficient, which he had to be.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not getting pressure on him, he is a smart enough quarterback that he'll make you pay for it. He's not going to blow you away, but he's not going to light the world on fire and win a Heisman, be the number one pick in the draft. But he's going to make smart decisions. He's the right size for a quarterback. He's got it when he needs it. And Bielema's a hell of a coach. And I'll give Bielema a ton of credit in this game. I know it's easy to fire on Lincoln Riley.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give Bielema a ton of credit. They get rolled over and died after that Indiana game. And that was a lot of pride at home. Student section still believed. They look good. It was looked like a fun atmosphere for a big nooner. I will give Bielema a ton of credit because I think it would have been very easy to walk into that game and have USC just stomp them based on the way they were playing.
And Maiava ended up the game really well. 30 of 43, 364, two touchdowns.
There's no doubt he's talented.
Yeah, he's,
there is no doubt he's got talent.
I think he leads the nation in yardage right now.
I
was checking the other day. I think that's where he sits at. Let me double check.
About this yesterday when we were chatting about Oregon and Penn State. And
I'm sorry, he's second.
Oregon and Miami, in my opinion, and we'll get to what we learned in college football later, Oregon and Miami are the most complete teams that I've seen so far. That's where USC's biggest fault is I just don't see the completeness.
They don't have the depth. That's where it's at.
That might be true, but I think they're also, they're they're struggling to find an identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a game like this, Illinois showed you an identity. Their identity was, we ain't going to back down. Was, we got absolutely smoked. That's on us. No excuses. And we aren't going to back down. And I've kind of just, I'm not going to be honest, I haven't watched a ton of SC this year because the competition just hasn't been there.
I haven't watched a ton of SC.
Yeah, not their fault.
I've checked out the first three games. I checked out after halftime. I'm like, all right, we're good here.
The competition hasn't been that great, but I don't know what this team's identity is. I think there's good quarterback play, but I don't know if I would say the offense is awesome. I mean, the Lemon kid is great.
Well, no, the offense.
That kid is rad.
Maiava's one of the five best quarterbacks in the country. Mekhi Lemon's right now one of probably the four best wide receivers in the country.
11 catches for 151.
Look what he did last week against Michigan State. Like, he's been an absolute monster. Wayman Jordan is an absolute dude in the backfield. Like, I am not worried about the offense at all. Maiava left some meat on the bone in the first half, and that's I think what ended up happening was Illinois got some confidence in that first half, and
that's all they needed.
And because USC, you know, they had some, you know, convertible third downs. Maiava missed a couple throws early on in the first half. And then, now Maiava came to life in the second half. My God, he'd come to life. But I think they gave, take the Penn State Oregon game. Penn State gave Oregon a chance in the sense of like 3-3 at halftime.
Oregon didn't stop going for it on fourth down because they knew their defense would bail them out if needed.
And then you look at what USC did in that game against Illinois. They went 4 of 5 on fourth downs. They just kept going for it, and they kept getting it. But that was, I think it was the other way around. I think they were going for it because they're like, our defense is not showing up right now.
503-864-6326 is the fan text line. Everyone keeps making excuses for why SC's issues are not due to Lincoln Riley's horrible in-game coaching. Did he have a cup of coffee with Sean McVay and now he's untouchable? That comes in.
What? Find me the thing that Lincoln Riley did in that game that was a coaching problem. He's not calling the defense.
Yeah, I think it. Again, I would say it's identity. I would say it's just, I don't know where this team is. I don't know if I really see his.
Is the Oregon offense Dan Lanning's identity?
No.
Okay, then stop.
No, but Dan Lanning's identity is
on the defensive side of the ball.
Now it's completeness and culture.
It's always been on the defensive side of the ball.
No, now it's a different world. Lanning's identity now is completely different.
This whole like Lincoln Riley thing, it's like I get it, and I'm not defending him, but I don't look at this game and go, he got out-coached. They got outplayed. They got outplayed, period. I wasn't sitting there going, Lincoln, what are you doing with the offense? They scored 32 points.
It should get it done.
Period, point blank.
This other text, they're too soft to navigate a big one B1G schedule. I mean, that could be true. That
could be.
USC's always been a finesse team.
Well, no.
I guess that's not in the 2000s.
No, they have not.
But of late, they have.
Absolutely. And there's a major reason. You know what I've said off air. If they win this game, you could talk me into them winning more than 8 games.
Yeah.
If they win this game, you can talk me into them winning more than 8 games. And I even told you, like, I'll get obnoxious about them. Because if they win this game, they're going to show that they can do the things that I question. And they showed that they can't. Now, Jakeem Stewart, Thanos, he was productive in this game. He was the guy that forced fumble, got the fumble recovery. He's a dude. But the problem is, Bear Alexander's not there anymore. He's at Oregon. So you don't have the other guy next to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean with the depth. One guy leaves, and yeah, you've got a couple other guys, but they aren't the dudes. And that's why you look at it, for me, as a USC guy, I said 8 wins this year. They also have the number one recruiting class in the country right now. If they are able to actually get guys in and build that depth, that's why it's 8 wins this year, and it's probably 10 wins next year.
The stretch gets heavy from here on out, too, for them. Not a lot of spots for mistakes.
You've got Michigan, and you've got Notre Dame.
Yeah. You got Nebraska on that schedule, too.
So if you come out of this and you go 0-4, you're in trouble.
Big trouble.
But you need to take care of business here coming up. Otherwise, it's going to be a problem. But I'm not a fire Lincoln if they win 8 games guy. If they win less than 8, they're not going to fire him, but the seat goes into next season
scorching.
Scorching hot. Not warm. It goes into the season scorching hot.
We'll ask the question, what do we learn in college football this weekend as we take a look around? I've already kind of said my piece, but I'll say it again. We'll have Web Gems as well to finish up the hour. Free consultation, 12:15. Get your questions in, 503-864-6326 or the YouTube chat. Sports, your life, whatever you need. Anything go crazy over the weekend? Do you need to buy the same drugs that Dan Lanning is on? Because I'm thinking about it myself. So we'll get to there at 12:15. Get those thoughts in. When we come back, like I said, what did we learn this weekend in college football? 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody's favorite Web Gems coming up next. Fight me, bro. Fight me, bro.
Love it.
Duval. So we'll get to that in about 15 minutes. A loaded 12 o'clock hour free consultation at 12:15. Get your questions in. We'll recircle around the Blazers as I'll ask some questions about some comments Chauncey Billups made, some Joe Cronin stuff. So we'll put a little bow on Media Day in the 12 o'clock hour as well. It is 1-1 still in this ALDS or AL wildcard, excuse me, between Cleveland and Detroit.
We're going to have something we have to work into the Web Gems too.
What?
Do you see Colorado got fined?
For what?
They got fined $50,000 by the Big 12 for inappropriate chants from their fans.
What did they say?
They were playing BYU.
Uh-oh. You guys can't do that. Do we not learn this yet? Don't we do this every single year? Somebody ends up paying money because they're chanting offensive stuff to the Mormons?
It was just bleep the Mormons.
Well, I know, but like that. That's borderline a hate crime in America. It is because it's religious and sexed, you know, sect. Excuse me. So it's like
everybody knows what they're doing.
But we all know that you're going to get fined if you do it. So knock it off. Stop doing it. I'm not even a religious guy and it's just dumb. I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't either. But we all know it's not hatred.
Well,
it's sports hatred. We know what it is.
But if you know you're going to get fined, why are you going to do it?
It's just it's dumb on both sides.
Because the students, they don't care. It's not their money.
Ding, 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 ding.
Still.
What are they going to do?
It's a bad look.
They're going to take the money away from the intramural program?
Like, maybe.
You know what I mean? It's just.
Maybe.
It says video surfaced off online with bleep the Mormons chants during the matchup. It's like, so a group of a couple hundred college students. Is Penn State going to go take the cameras and suspend all of the students in the student section that were chanting Fire Franklin?
That's different. That's different. It's different. It's not a potential hate crime. I'm just telling you the letter of the law.
That's not a potential hate crime.
It is when you're attacking somebody based on their religion and sect. Yeah, it is.
It's
man.
Not a potential.
Kind of.
Harris, no, it's not.
Kind of.
No, it's not. Saying you don't like somebody, that is not a hate crime.
I know. But saying you don't like somebody because of your thoughts, religious beliefs, that's a different story, my friend. That's a different story.
It's not a hate crime.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying it's a hate crime, but it's closer to that.
Hate crime adjacent.
What I'm saying more than anything is that there is precedent set in this. that you know you're going to get fired or fined. You know you can't do this, yet you do it anyway. So I have no sympathy, and I think it's stupid.
I don't have any sympathy for it. I just think it's all...
I'm not saying you do. I think it's just dumb.
I just think it's like... Yes.
It's a misappropriation of your time. It's stupid.
Like, why are we even... Just don't even acknowledge it.
That's what I would do. I would just not even acknowledge it.
Yes, that's what I mean.
You tell me all those kids on BYU are Mormon? No, you're just taking a shot at the school.
That, see, you just made the argument for me. We all know what it is.
I know, but it's not worth saying. It's just not.
I'm not going to disagree, but it's also, it's just, whatever, man. It's so dumb.
What did we learn in college football this weekend? I gave you my thoughts. I think the two most complete teams in college football that I've seen top to bottom, coaching, player, personnel, is Miami and the Ducks. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting on Cristobal Ball to do some Cristobal Ball things. And, you know, I think there's, as well as Dante played against Penn State, he's still, you know, kind of getting his feet set. But those are my biggest takeaways. I've become a believer in Lane Kiffin. I think the schedule shakes out in his favor so far. Where do I ask you? Tomorrow we'll get to Florida State and Ohio State, because I got some real issues with Ohio State.
So I was at church on Sunday, and I ran into a huge, huge Duck fan who I know. And he goes, "So what'd you think of the Ducks game?" And I was like, your Ducks are going to end up number two in the poll. They're not going to go to number one. And it's going to be because Ohio State is somehow cemented there. And it doesn't make any sense. And I go, Oregon's going to be one. Miami's going to be three. Or excuse me, Oregon's going to be two. Miami's going to be three.
Well, I think there's a lot of AP voters that think that win over Texas is a bigger win than a win over Penn State. And I don't know if I agree with that.
And not only that, it was not a win that you're proud of.
No.
And you can be like, well, Oregon went to double overtime. And I'm like, yeah,
Like, how did Texas have a bye and we have less faith in Texas? They might be the closest team. They might be the closest team to ever lose to a bye.
I mean, did they
in terms of perception,
Texas went up in the polls.
Right, but they might have gone up because people above them lost. But, I mean, our opinions are starting to get more and more sour.
That's the thing about it. It's like, that's so dumb. I would say for me, Miami has been the best team. I'll give you my AP top 10. I would say, I would put Miami 1. I would put Oregon 2. I'd go Ole Miss 3. I'm going to go way out of pocket here. I would put Indiana 4.
I know you love Indiana.
I loved them coming into the season.
There's no reason you shouldn't be.
I look at it. If you're talking about resumes, you beat a top 10 team by 50.
That's true.
Who has a better win this season? No, just stop, because the answer is nobody. Nobody has a better win.
I think there's a lot of argument that Illinois should not have been a top 10
I don't
team.
Care. That's, you can have revisionist history or whatever you want. But that is not what the poll is about.
I don't know if there's revisionists. I think we've all been saying that all year. We weren't sure why Illinois was in the top as high as they were.
They beat them by 50.
I know. I saw it. Okay. Watched it with my eyeballs.
So I'd go Miami.
I'm not anti-Indiana. I'm just saying I don't think Illinois is as good as we thought they were going to be.
I go week by week. I take the preseason. I don't care what you think. I go by the results. And by the results, Miami has beat good teams.
For sure.
Notre Dame
has shown life. They're a good team. Texas A&M looks really good. So Notre Dame, as much as we gave them grief for being 0-2 and still in the polls, that's a good football team.
They're good. There's no doubt about it.
That's a really good football team.
Oregon has beat a good team on the road in a violent environment.
Yeah.
Great win.
A lot of times look good doing it, too.
Ole Miss handled business against one of the best defenses in the country.
Agreed.
Okay. Then Indiana, and I can't believe I'm going to say this. I would put A&M. I'd put A&M there. A&M is really, really, really good.
I'm looking for some more complete for them. Mm-hmm. You know, they gave up a lot of points to Notre Dame, but like I said, that Notre Dame team is pretty good. Struggle with Auburn, but hey, Auburn is going to be a really tough out in the SEC this year.
They're tough.
Their record doesn't show it. They're obviously not ranked anymore. They're going to be a really tough out for everybody.
Then I would go Bama, Tech, and then I'm going to go outside the box here. I'd put Georgia Tech at 10. I don't care if they struggle with Wake Forest, blah, blah.
Dude, Dickard's got something moving on down
look,
there.
Look, Indiana struggled with Iowa. Like, Iowa does Iowa things.
I was just about to say, like, that's the most predictable thing in the world.
We all knew going into that, into that game that was going to happen. That's how Iowa plays football. They just pull you down in the mud and just mess you up.
And you feel bad because the kids are watching.
But you look at Georgia Tech, they're a good football team. They're a complete team.
They're a good team.
You look at Texas, I wonder about that offense. You look at Georgia.
That's a top five defense in the nation.
Georgia, as great as they are, I don't know if it is a Alabama problem or if they aren't good enough on offense.
Yeah, they're the team that I can't quite figure out. You know, Gunnar Stockton I didn't think was really terrible, but he wasn't great. That run game is nice, though.
But that's what I mean. You've got to have a quarterback, and we're seeing the quarter, like the teams that I just named in that top group. What do they have?
They all have quarterbacks.
Carson Beck, Dante Moore, Fernando Mendoza, like Chambliss.
Ty Simpson, dude. Ty Simpson impressed me. We were talking about Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
And like Dante Moore and the quarterbacks that like Herbert's this way, the quarterbacks that don't necessarily go to run when they need to, when they just willy nilly, but run when they need to in the right spots. Ty Simpson, I said this yesterday.
He didn't start the season well, but he's catching on.
He looked real good right now. He's in my if New York were today, he's there for me. I don't think he's winning it, but he's there for me. I think Ty Simpson proved a lot of doubters wrong, made that offense look a lot more dynamic on the road against a Georgia team. But that again, Georgia is a team that I don't know what to think about. Florida State is a team that I don't know what to think about. We'll get into them tomorrow. Ohio State's the same way. We'll get into them tomorrow. Texas. There's a lot of teams that I'm not sure. What I do know, complete for me, is Oregon and Miami. Starts at quarterback, coaching, defense, offensive line, the whole shebang. I've seen good defensive moments. I've seen good offensive moments. It's just, can you keep it together?
Ty Simpson, the Florida State game, he was 23 of 43. He got sacked three times, and a lot of his yards came late. They played ULM. He was 17 of 17, three touchdowns. We don't count that game. Wisconsin, 24 of 29, four touchdowns. He was phenomenal. Against Georgia, 24 of 38, 276, two touchdowns. He has not thrown an interception this year. He has not thrown an interception this year despite playing Georgia and Florida State.
It's amazing.
Like, that's that first week against Florida State, he did not look good. Ever since then, he's completing like 76% of his passes, and he's got 9 touchdowns and 0 interceptions while being sacked once. That's good. Pretty damn good. But like, again, if I was a voter, I take all of the preseason stuff out, expectation stuff out.
Especially in quarterback play this year.
Yes, but when I look at if I was going to do a poll, I'm adjust week to week. That to me, like I brought this up so many times. I love the way that Pate does it. And it's very similar to this. He's got his ranking, and then he's got his power rankings.
Yeah, just because you're in one spot and you win doesn't mean you need to stay in that spot. No. I'm talking about you in the top 10. You know, I understand if like a, you know, 15th ranked team beats an unranked conference opponent that's not UCLA, but is like show some sign of life and you win by 8 or 9. I can see you not, you know, moving up in the stands, but just to be number one for the sake of still being number one is a little rough in my world.
This is what's weird. We saw the first place votes. I think there was 5 or 6 teams last week that had first place votes. Ohio State has 46, Oregon has 16, Miami has 4. And the Ducks fans, chill. Oregon has beaten one team on the road in double overtime.
It's a great game.
It was a great game. Fantastic game. Why are they ahead of Miami?
Why is Ohio State ahead of either of them?
I don't disagree, but that's my point. Why is Oregon ahead of Miami?
I think they look the part. I think that's why people say what I'm saying. Why over Miami? Oh, over Miami?
Why is Oregon over Miami?
I thought
Miami?
You just meant that high. No. Over Miami? I don't know that answer. I think a lot of it might be the crystal ball effect that a lot of us kind of in the Drew Aller situation are just waiting for Mario to do something Mario. And we're expecting that. So
they have played
until
Notre
you
Dame.
Prove me wrong, then maybe I don't. That's the only. I'm trying to find the logic.
I know. But
I think Miami's the number one team in the nation right now.
100%.
That's my opinion. I think Oregon is a very close number two.
I would agree. But if we're talking about
if I had to bet on it, I would take Oregon over Miami because I expect Cristobal to do Cristobal things.
Totally fair. But if you're talking resume and what a team has done this year,
it's not even close. It's Miami.
It's Miami. So why the hell are they? Why is Ohio State getting 46 first place votes?
People are lazy, man.
That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Probably because people are lazy.
It has to be. Because even if you look at the coaches poll, you're like, wait, hold on. What's going on here? Oh, look at you. You're struggling with this game. It's really getting you, isn't it?
Such bad defense.
Look at the coaches poll right now. Ohio State has 58 first place votes. Oregon 6, Miami 1.
Yeah, that's just lazy voting.
I mean, it's not the head coaches. It's somebody they had a staffer. Yeah. Why does Miami has the best resume in the country right now, and it's not close. So how on earth do you look at that and do that? It's just, I don't know, man. It just baffles me.
Yeah, I hope this, you know, kind of like balls and strikes in baseball, I hope that this conversation continues to happen about how much of a joke the AP poll is, and we just get rid of it. You know, keep banging on that drum, and eventually we have to do something
about
it. Or
cut the voters down drastically.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something like that.
Make like, hey, you said you wanted to take driver's test every 10 years. Make them take a football test every 5
years.
Ain't that
the truth?
What on, how on earth is Ohio State getting that many votes? I just, I can't.
Yeah, lazy.
Because they went into Washington and won?
Come on, man. We'll get into that tomorrow. When we come back, everybody's favorite web gems, as we do every day at 11:45. We're still taking your consultation questions, so send those in, 503-864-6326. You gotta love a good coach fight, especially when one would just whoop that ass, but the other one's the one doing the trash talking. We'll get to that next. 105.1 The Fan.
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Now, son of a...
It's Web Gems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
Detroit on the board, 2-1. In the top of the 7th, 2 outs. Hunter Gaddis comes in to relieve Gavin Williams.
The old squeeze.
The squeeze. Not full suicide, but a bunt down the first baseline.
He wasn't even moving on the... Oh,
dude,
God. He.
John Kenzie Noel should not be playing first base in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, my God.
This team is so bad.
He wasn't even moving on the pitch, man.
Think about this. This is how good our pitching staff is. Ugh. Is that the defense is so bad.
Oof.
The defense is so bad, and we're still only the Brewers have given up less runs than us. Ugh, I'm getting just driving me crazy.
I will say he may have gone home. He may have gone home with that play before, but that stretch he just made was incredible.
Well, I know, but like, dude, you know, first base so bad. Oh, right, he plays in Seattle now. All right, but we got his brother.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, Bo's good behind the dish, though. I like Bo. Did you see Web Gems today brought to you by Duval. Dude, I don't know about you, man. I understand high tea and football and like getting riled up and it's a post game and it's a close game and, you know, emotions are high and stuff. I got Robert Saleh pretty high on my list in the NFL of coaches that I'm not down to mess with. It's like Dan Campbell's there.
McDermott,
yes, because of his wrestling. D'Amico, I ain't touching.
Nope.
And Robert Saleh is in that conversation. I just have no interest. And I...
Especially if you're built like Liam Cohen.
I will give Liam a ton of credit, though. You know, you talk that S, you walk that S. They went into San Francisco and beat that S. Purdy looked terrible in the game.
For a second there, I thought you said, especially when you're built like Linda Cohen.
you know, that was an impressive win, Rusty. I mean, you're a Jags fan, and I know this, you know, my biggest storyline going into this year was Trevor Lawrence, and I wouldn't say Trevor was great, but he was less bad than he normally is, and Liam Cohen, a la Aaron Glenn, despite very different teams and very different records, is really starting to show his fingerprints on that team, and I got a lot more faith in Jacksonville after that, but I asked the question, what are you doing trying to fight Robert Saleh?
Yeah,
unless you knew Hold Me Back, Bro was coming.
I mean,
unless you knew your boy was there to prevent you. I am not interested. If I were to meet Robert Saleh, I'm not a Niners fan. I'm not a Niners hater. If I were to meet Robert Saleh in real life, it is a yes, sir. Thank you, sir. You're doing a great job, sir. And I thank you for everything you've done, sir. Please don't hit me, sir. And sir,
100% agree. But also, when are we going to have the Travis Hunter conversation?
Probably pretty soon. I think he's getting bailed out because Trevor hasn't been great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think the ceiling has completely come off Trevor Lawrence. They are 3-1. That
and
division
in the NFL,
open.
In the NFL, it doesn't matter.
Wins are wins.
Wins are wins. You don't, style points don't matter.
You know, none of us believe the Colts are going to continue doing this. Houston, it might have the worst offense next to the Tennessee Titans.
But it's not because they're bad. It's because everyone's dead.
Right. And I think Travis Hunter, you know, he's got a lot of things going for him. Okay, well, we'll have the conversation right now. I think Travis Hunter has a lot of things going for him in the sense of how do you figure out playing both sides of the ball?
Mm-hmm.
What did Jacksonville draft him for?
Mm-hmm.
And even if you throw those questions out, let's just say he's a Heisman Trophy winning receiver. Doesn't play D, just as a Heisman Trophy winning receiver. He is bailed out because of the same reason why nobody's going to yell at Ja'Marr Chase, because Trevor Lawrence hasn't been great.
I would argue that Trevor Lawrence hasn't been great, but he hasn't been bad.
He hasn't been number one overall pick at $50 million a year, though.
No, you're not wrong, but also... Brian Thomas turning into a Florida Gator, and I don't mean the program. I mean the one that has the short arms.
Mm.
Did you see the discussion about this? How many times he's gotten Gator arms over the last couple weeks? He may have gotten Antonio Brown last year.
Mm.
He may have gotten smoked so hard last year that he's got a little bit of the yipsies. And he finished the game 5 catches, 49 yards, hit 7 targets. You know, but remember last year, he was the dude. Like him and Neighbors, like everybody, Neighbors at the love, and deservedly so.
We didn't even mention that. RIP Malik Neighbors. Man, at least he's young.
That sucked.
Sucks big time.
I really wanted, like,
and he blew up as he was jumping.
We knew it, because when he went up, it was like he did the grab. And
he's like, I'm done.
I hate Northeast sports. I love Jackson Dart. I love Cam Scataboo. I love Malik Neighbors. Mm-hmm. And I like that trio.
And
I like
that D-line, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things to like there. And now that they don't have Neighbors, I'm like, ah, damn it. That sucks for Jackson. But number one, the 49ers are significantly more fraudulent at 3-1 than the Jacksonville Jaguars are.
Without a doubt.
Like they like
that team
again. Wins are wins, and you don't right, like right. You can still win this division and all those things. But I do not, not even injuries aside, there is something wrong with the 49ers.
I keep asking this question, and this might be my question in both college and the NFL all year. What is San Francisco's identity?
Yeah,
for a long time, it's been big playmakers on offense and just a loaded defense. Loaded defense. And we knew the second Saleh was fired from the Jets, he was going to be the DC. Like, wait till next year when Mike McDaniel's the OC there. Like, we can predict Shanahan.
And I know so Bosa's hurt, but.
But I wonder now.
Zero sacks.
I wonder.
Zero.
As I sit here and I can predict Kyle Shanahan's moves as a coach and how he fills out his staff. I mean, are we starting to predict how he runs a team too? What is their identity? What are they good at? I don't know that answer.
Not only zero sacks, zero quarterback hits.
That can't happen.
They didn't touch Trevor
Lawrence. That can't happen at all.
And they were guessing all game because Etienne was carving them up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like
he had a nice run.
Yeah. Well, what did he go for? 61?
Something
it was?
Like that.
No, his was 48. Genty's was 61. There was a couple. We hadn't really had the big running back games in the NFL outside of the Henry game in the opening night of the NFL. This weekend we had some running back games.
You want a hot take?
It was nice to see.
You want a hot take real quick? Baltimore goes into San Francisco tonight and beats them.
Tonight?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Oh, no, if they played?
If Baltimore walked into San Francisco tonight.
Well, because the Niners can't score.
Yeah.
They can't
3-1 versus 1-3, I'll take the Ravens in that
game.
The
Ravens are one of the better 1-3 teams I've seen in a long time.
They got issues.
Well, they can score. They can't stop a wet paper towel.
We got a loaded third hour for you. Free consultation at 12:15, so get those in. 503-864-6326. Free advice, anything in your personal life over the weekend. I'm going to need some after watching this. A baseball game, so get those in. But we'll get back into Blazer Media Day, chat a little bit about some comments that Chauncey Billups had and some stuff that Joe Cronin, the future this season, not necessarily a preview, but kind of expectations. Let's put it that way. Loaded third hour. Hang out with us. We're having a great time. Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.